In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
From the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Friday night. With you for the full four. We're asking you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. You can use your smartphone. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can put it on your tablet. You can use your iPod, your webcam, your drone. Whatever it is that your electronic device is, put it on there today. Social media is at 929thegame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to keep up with us is through our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show, as always, on the other side of the glass, Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis For Real. A lot to get into with you here tonight. It is Friday night, and the Braves are at home, so the best uniforms in baseball will be trotting out here in just a little bit. Braves are going to take on the Colorado Rockies in Game 2 of this series, 7:20 first pitch from Truist Park. Jared Schuster on the mound for the Braves tonight. Look, he's been better since he's gotten back up here. His last start, he was 5 innings with 3 runs, got the victory over the Nationals. He's won 3 of his last 4 starts without a loss. So he's won 3 straight games, and he's won 3 of his last 4 with no losses in there. Started off 0-2, and since then he's had 3 straight wins. So sitting at 3-2 with a 5.05 ERA, still a little bit high, but he has, you know, pitched a little bit better. 5 1/3 innings and 2 runs in the start against Oakland. And then on June 10th, it was 5 innings and 3 runs and a victory over the Washington Nationals. And now look, it's another chance for, again, a victory tonight where you're playing another last place team, right? You're playing another dreadful team, so you get a chance to pick up another victory. You know, Braves right now, when you look at the standings, 8 games over Philadelphia, 5 games over the Marlins. So that's starting to creep up, right? Braves are 8-2 in their last 10. Give the credit to, I mean, look, Marlins are 7-3 in their last 10, and the Phillies are 8-2 in their last 10. So they're hanging tough, but right now, Braves 8 games over Philadelphia, and then the New York Mets, they're 2-8 in their last 10. Couldn't happen to a better club, right? Couldn't happen to a better club. Crazy to think the Marlins are 7 games above 500 with a minus 30 run differential. Minus 30. That's worse than Philadelphia and the Mets. They're minus 30 in run differential, and yet they're 7 games above 500. They're 21-13 at home. That's been the thing about them, is they've been a really good team in, what is that place called, Marlins Park or whatever, Joe Robbie or whatever it's called. They're a game below 500 on the road, but they are 8 games above 500 at home. So Braves have a 5-game lead over them. I expect the Braves to win tonight. Let's see if Jared Schuster can, you know, just kind of get through. I mean, look, 5-6 innings, I mean, that's what we're asking for, right? He's only had one start that he has, that he's pitched a whole 6 innings. And last night, you know, again, the Braves win last night. You know, look, this team is rolling right along. And we talked about the month of June. Now we're officially past the halfway point of June, so we're on the downslope to the month of June. But this has been a good month for the Braves so far this year. It's been a good month for the home team. And look, I expect it to be, by the time we get to July, I really do think that they will have a double-digit lead over the Mets and the full doleful Phillies when all is said and done. May not be double-digit over the Marlins, but I think there'll be double digits over both the Phillies and Mets when all is said and done as we get toward the month of July. Then we look forward to the All-Star break and all that kind of stuff. Trade deadline will be, you know, coming up here, you know, shortly and all that kind of stuff. I mean, so, you know, obviously, you know, it's still going to be a busy summer. But, you know, this division is starting to get to where, okay, you feel like you've gotten through some of the early tests and stuff like that. But this month of schedule has been very beneficial to the Braves. And maybe they needed it, you know, for a chance to get their young pitcher some experience, because we don't know when Max Fried and Kyle Wright are going to be back, right? We know Anderson's out, done for the year. We don't know what the status of Michael Soroka is. I've not heard much of anything. I mean, maybe somebody's, you know, had some updates about what's been going on with him. But, you know, as of right now, we just don't really kind of have some sense of understanding about when or if he's coming back up this particular season. So you're just trying to kind of hang in there with some of your young guys until either you get to the trade deadline or you got Max Fried and Kyle Wright back at some point. And maybe hopefully by August that those guys come back. But, you know, we'll see. But right now they've got their 3 starters and a whole cavalcade of youngsters from there, and they're getting it done. And they're getting it done, and the schedule has really benefited them here over this past month here, as the Braves are 43-26, now 21-15 at home. So they've now started to pull away a little bit at home after kind of struggling at home earlier in the year where they were so good on the road. Now the home wins are starting to accumulate, and they're starting to get a little bit more, you know, separation between, you know, the wins and losses at home. So we'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on with Braves baseball, as the best uniforms in baseball will be broken out. Are they doing the throwbacks tomorrow? Do we know, Day-Day?
Yeah, so it's pretty much every Saturday, every home Saturday.
Okay, so every home Saturday. So every home Friday is the Reds. Every home Saturday is the city edition.
Yep.
Yeah, the city edition uniform, which is kind of a throwback to the uniforms from the 70s and such like that. So, again, your pitcher for the Rockies tonight. Let's see here. This is it Lamette or LeMay? Danielson, LeMay, Lamette. Well, here's what I know. He ain't met a Met yet, and he's 1-3 with a 10+ ERA. Is that good, Day-Day? Do we know if that's good or not?
That's horrible.
Oh, it's not so good.
No,
Oh, okay.
And the crazy part is Schuster's ERA is half his.
Yeah. I mean, Schuster's got an ERA that's 5, and that's still half of what the what the Rocky starter is going to be tonight. So yeah, it's not been so good. So, but anyway, he's got a 10.38 ERA. He's made 3 starts this year. He's mostly a bullpen guy. He's come out of the bullpen a whole bunch, but he has made 3 starts, and he's got 3 homers given up in 21 innings, but he has struck out 26 guys in 21 and 2/3. So he does get outs without contact, but he's been kind of he's given up 25 runs in 21 and 2/3 innings. That's probably not a good ratio when it comes to your ERA. So Braves should be able to get a victory tonight. Your lineup tonight for the Atlanta Braves looks like this. Ronnie, Ozzie, Riley, Darnell, Olsen, Ozuna, Rosario, Arcia, and then Michael Harris will hit in the 9th hole. And again, we've talked about how the bottom of that order has been so good for the Braves. It really hasn't mattered how much they mix and mash and different things like that. But when that bottom of the order gets things cranked up and going, the Braves are not beatable. They're not going to lose games. If their 7, 8, 9 hitters are producing, and they've had some monster games here in the month of June where they've gotten lots of production, lots of runs scored, lots of RBI. So if they get the bottom of that order cranked up, I mean, again, I know how good everybody is at the top. I know how good Ronnie and Ozzie and Riley and Darnell and Sean Murphy and everybody else has been, and Ozuna's had, a good year for him. But when that bottom of the order, 7, 8, 9, get things going and get things cooking, this team is almost unbeatable. And that's really how they've won games. I mean, they have not pitched particularly well. I mean, they've had their struggles as far as their starting pitching goes, but still – when you have that much, firepower on offense and your lineup is that deep, you can get away with, some less than stellar starting pitching. I mean, it's not like they're winning games 1-0 right now, right? I mean, their offense is kind of rolling right along. Ricky Fowler continues to lead the U.S. Open. As of right now, he's still 10-under, 2-under for today in his round after shooting that 62 yesterday. That was the lowest round in U.S. Open history. So, remarkable round. And, again, I think this will be a fun weekend because we don't have any idea of how this course plays, right? And the weather conditions can change. I mean, it's like Atlanta, in a lot of ways with L.A. I mean, conditions can always change and things can always, go, a different direction weather-wise. But this course has been pretty favorable to players, and it's not a typical U.S. Open type of course. And obviously the kind of the secretiveness of this course, right? This is one of the most exclusive private clubs in America, right? This is not I don't think there's a road that you can view the course from, right? It's almost like that. I think there's like everything is kind of like there's, I think there's one road that has a little bit of an opening, but it's even kind of closed off to where you can't see a whole lot. So now, speaking of golf, Tiger Woods has already said that he is going to sit out the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool. The R&A spokesman for the tournament said that, quote, "We have been advised that Tiger will not be playing at Royal Liverpool. We wish him all the best with his recovery." So we didn't think, it's going to be the final major of the year. We didn't really think he was going to play in that major. No timetable has been set for his return to golf. 47 years old. Look, after what we saw earlier this year where, with the plantar fasciitis and all the different things going on, look, he just was not in a good, physical frame of mind at the Masters. And he had to withdraw because of the plantar fasciitis in his right foot, the same injury that caused him to withdraw from the Hero World Classic Challenge in February. So the only way that gets better is just rest. And you can't push it, and the pain is just excruciating when you have plantar fasciitis. So, again, no timetable for his return. I would say that, we're not going to see him anytime soon. I would be curious to have his thoughts about, all of the drama with the LIV golf tournament and all that kind of stuff that's been going on. But Anyway, he's not going to be at the you know, for lack of a better term, the British Open, as we like to call it here in the States, the final major of the year. Ja Morant suspended 25 games by the NBA. Again, I know Dukes and Bell were talking a lot about this, and they didn't think that that was enough games. I don't know. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's what, about a quarter of the season, you know, so okay. You know, maybe a little bit more than a quarter of the season, maybe closer to a third of the season, but still, there wasn't an actual crime that was committed, but the perception is how bad that the look was for him, right? And what, Day-Day, what do we always say? What do we always say on the show? Perception has the same effect as truth.
Yep.
And it, from a perception standpoint, felt like he was committing this crime and all this kind of stuff, when in fact the reality is that he wasn't. But it's perceived. And that's the thing about that. And we always talk about this on this particular show, that, you know, again, if something is perceived to be true, it might as well be. It might as well be true. So, you know, when you have the Instagram, you know, the InstaFace stories and all this kind of stuff, and the face, you know, face chat stories and all this kind of thing, it just doesn't look good. Even though it may not be a crime committed, or, you know, again, the if you're a legal gun owner and all this kind of stuff, that's not a crime or anything. But perception, when you've had issues in the past, right, and you've had those moments in the past, and now you bring them back out to social media and all that kind of stuff, it's just the look of it isn't good. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think they're going to have I think moving forward that this will be a no-tolerance policy for Ja Morant. Either he gets it fixed now, and he's one of the bright young superstars of the NBA, or then the next time it will be the hammer will come down. Because, again, he's done this before. This is not the first time that he's been flashing the guns on, you know, InstaFace, you know, and the gram book and all that kind of stuff. So he's done this before. So they probably gave him a little bit of a, you know, reprieve. Okay, 25 games, you know, you're going to miss out on a lot of money. I think, what, $7 million, $7.5 million that he's going to miss out on. So, you know, that's a big chunk to miss out on, but still – hopefully he gets things figured out. Hopefully he takes this more serious now. I know that he put out a statement issued today. I don't really care. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I could care less about what some of these guys say and all that kind of stuff. So, all right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines to you, 404-726-0929. This has only happened one time in the last decade for the Falcons. Could it happen this year? I'll explain next. Chuck in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Friday evening with you. All right, 404-726-0929. That is our phone line, and it is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We're going to open up the phone lines here for you. You can comment on what we're going to talk about here. We are going to talk to our friend of the show, Christy Dosh. She is coming up here in about 20 minutes from right now. Talk some NIL with her. She is a sports business writer for Forbes. She does a lot of work in the field of NIL, even kind of running a college for NIL. So we got a lot of things to cover with her. Joe Patrick going to join us at 8:20 this evening. We'll talk some Falcons foosball with him. When it comes to the Falcons, one interesting stat is the fact that the Falcons have had only one player reach double digits in touchdowns as a receiver in the last 10 years. So the Falcons have only had seven different guys in franchise history that have had double digit touchdowns in a season as a receiver, tight end, whatever like that, as a pass catcher, let's say. Andre Rison leads the way. He had 4 seasons. 90, 91, 92, 93. Alfred Jenkins had one in 81. Terrence Mathis in 94 and 98. Roddy had back-to-back seasons of double-digit touchdowns, 2009 and 2010. Mike Haynes, 91 and 92, had double-digit touchdowns. Julio in 2012. And the last guy to do it was Calvin Ridley in 2010, who was exactly at 10 touchdowns. So it's been a decade where we've only had one guy. In the most pass-happy era of the NFL, in NFL history, where guys are putting up all of these big numbers and passes are being thrown at record rates, yards are being accumulated at record rates, wide receivers are having these monster years that we could have never imagined. I mean, think about John Stallworth and Lynn Swann playing in today's NFL, right? I mean, Terry Bradshaw threw it about 17 times per game. Think about that. He threw it about 17 times per game. Now, remember, we talked about the two 1,000-yard rushers. They were one of the first teams in the NFL to have two 1,000-yard rushers in Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer. And yet they had two Hall of Fame wide receivers out there throwing it about 17 times a game. Think those guys don't lick their chops about, you know, in the era that if they had played in this era, the numbers that they would have accumulated? I think Lynn Swann had about 6,000 yards was it. Hell, guys have that in 4 years now. I mean, Stephon Diggs has probably got that in 4 years. It's crazy to think. So who's next? That's the question at 404-726-0929. Who's next? You know, there's a definite plethora of guys who could be double-digit touchdown guys for the Falcons this year. We certainly think that Kyle Pitts has to be the leader in the clubhouse, right? And I keep going back to, at some point, it has to be Travis Kelce. 100 catches, 1,500 yards, a dozen touchdowns. If he's going to truly impact football games, you can miss me with the whole 1,026 yards. I'll blow that stat up in seconds. It's got to be impact. And that's the biggest thing about this, is that having a receiver where, again, you get a guy down deep, you change the dynamic of a game. Now, there are plenty of candidates, as we said. Look, Kyle Pitts, I think he might break through this year. Certainly Drake London is a guy who, with his big physical body, can certainly become that kind of player. And if we're going to get to an elite red zone offensive status, then you're probably going to have one or two guys that end up with double-digit touchdowns on this team. Because we're going to talk about being 67% touchdown percentage in the red zone. That's going to get us to that elite status level. Top five, top six type of level. That's where, you know, the elite teams live in the red zone, is in that 67% and higher red zone efficiency as far as scoring touchdowns go. But certainly, Bijan Robinson could be a guy that has 10 touchdown receptions. Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Jonnu Smith could be a real X factor in the red zone. There are certainly plenty of options. And I do think that they will allow Desmond Ridder, when he gets down deep, to be able to throw the football. Probably even more than Mariota, because they trusted Marcus Mariota. I think they trust Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder is not going to be the turnover machine that Marcus Mariota was. So you could use him down in the red zone to be a guy that throws the football. Yes, obviously our DNA is to run heavy, run first, you know, run a lot. That's what the DNA of this ball club is. But when you're talking about the idea of what our red zone offense is going to be like, there are some definite mismatches in the red zone. Pitts is a mismatch. London can be a mismatch. Jonnu Smith can be a mismatch. Bijan Robinson can be a mismatch. There are plenty of guys that, when you look at this roster, that they should be guys that are mismatches on offense in the red zone. And that will create a lot of opportunity for some guys to put up some really good numbers. You know, even if some of these guys aren't 100-catch guys, and we talked about last night on the show, I think Desmond Ridder is under the 475 pass attempts. But from a production standpoint, this thing could be, you know, you could have Drake London, Kyle Pitts be double-digit touchdown guys, even without some of the high-volume catch guys. You know, Drake London could have 75 receptions and 10 touchdowns. I'll take that. I'll take that from Drake London. You tell me he becomes a red zone threat and he's a real target in the red zone and he breaks through, I'll take that all day long out of him. I'll take the fewer catches if you tell me his touchdown production increases. And that was always the big bugaboo about Julio Jones, right? It's just, we could not figure out how to get Julio Jones off in the red zone. He had one season where he had double-digit touchdowns for the Falcons. One. In 2012, he had one season. What, Antonio Brown had multiple years of like 14, 15 touchdowns. But yet we couldn't figure out a way to do it. So 404-726-0929. Who's the next guy to break through that double-digit touchdown reception, Mark? Let's go to Ramil out in Brooks County. What's going on, Ramil?
What's going on, boss?
Hey, buddy.
I think this player right here is not really on too many people's radar. I think he's actually going to be sneaky good. I don't think he's going to have a lot of catches or like crazy yards because it's going to be so much attention on all those tall receivers and Bijan and Cordero out the back. But I think Scotty Miller is going to have a lot of touchdowns this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's another guy that, you know, he could be a sneaky guy, kind of to your point. When you have to focus on so many different types of players, guys like that find themselves getting free, right? I mean, that's the thing about, you know, when you have a guy like that, that he can find a way to, you know, sneak inside and find his way into a whole bunch of catch. You know, again, we in I guess what do they call a day-day in fantasy football? Like they have players that are like vulture. What is it? They call it like vulture touchdown players, where there are guys that are like short yardage backs at the goal line that a running back will do all of the work to get the team down there. And then somebody is like a vulture. They come in and score mm-hmm. all the touchdowns. You know, they may not have many carries or yards or things like that. But, you know, T.J. Duckett was a guy like that for us, right?
Yeah, T.J. Duckett.
I mean, when Warrick Dunn would you know, run up and down the
then
field.
They would hand it to T.J. to pound it
yep,
in.
Yep, exactly. I mean, he was that big bruiser back to hand it inside to. And T.J. Duckett would be the guy that would, like, scoop up the touchdowns. That could possibly be a Scotty Miller. Now, when you're so focused on London and Pitts and Jonnu Smith and Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier coming out of the backfield, and obviously our running backs can catch it, obviously, that, you know, again, Bijan Robinson is going to be a guy that they use a good bit. And Cordarrelle Patterson was a double-digit touchdown guy with rushing and receiving a couple of years ago for this team. But even he could be a guy that vultures some touchdowns in the passing game. Even he could be a guy that finds his way in that, again, when you're so focused on some of these other pieces. But again, to me, if we're going to really get to where we need to get to, it's got to be Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts has to have that breakout kind of season. He's got to be that guy that puts up those Travis Kelce kinds of numbers, and he becomes a complete mismatch, and he's a dominant player. And again, I'm not talking about he's a Pro Bowl alternative or different things like that. I'm talking about a first or second all-pro kind of player. I mean, again, we're talking about a guy who's the fourth draft pick overall. When you spend that kind of draft capital, whether this is fair or unfair, and what did we just say in the last segment? Perception has the same effect as truth. It has to be that he has to be a Travis Kelce-like performer to make sense of that pick, a difference maker for your franchise. Or else we should have taken Micah Parsons and Penei Sewell. We should have taken those guys, because those guys are difference makers for their franchises. It's not coincidence that Aiden Hutchinson and Penei Sewell drafted in back-to-back years, and all of a sudden the Detroit Lions go from one of the worst teams in the NFL to all of a sudden they're an above 500 team. It's not coincidence that Micah Parsons come into the Dallas Cowboys and completely turns their defensive, you know, schematic around, and they're one of the premier defenses in the NFL now. Got to have those kinds of players. I think Kyle Pitts can be that kind of guy, but we haven't seen it yet. Injuries, you know, lack of production, you know, again, you know, the quarterbacks that are throwing to him. I mean, I'm not saying it's all his fault, but certainly when you combine Arthur Smith and the quarterback play and Kyle Pitts himself, all three of those things have been a factor in why it hasn't been that breakout yet. So I do anticipate the idea of that Kyle Pitts is a double-digit touchdown guy. I think that he's going to be that guy that breaks through. And I think this is the year for Kyle Pitts. Let me put it this way. It almost has to be. Will his career, you know, be over if he doesn't have? No. But then you start to question about, okay, are we getting what we expected? You can't tell me that a guy's a unicorn and he's a two-touchdown guy. Sorry, but that ain't a unicorn. I don't know what your definition of a unicorn is, unless you know talk about being a unicorn where you stick a horn up your keister. But that's not a unicorn. Two touchdowns, right? Not when what's his name? The tight end that we had last year. Mykole Pruitt, right? When Mykole Pruitt catches twice as many touchdowns, okay. You know, that's Mykole Pruitt should never have a season where he catches twice as many touchdowns. Mykole Pruitt is no vulture, right? Mykole Pruitt is not that kind of player that should be a vulture for your team. That should be still a mismatch that Kyle Pitts has. So I'll take Kyle Pitts for the double digit touchdowns this year, and we'll see what happens. But I think there's a lot of good options when you talk about what we can be in the red zone if we get to that kind of level. All right, Christy Dosh going to join us up next. We'll talk some NIL with her. Chuck Ray in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Friday night with you. By the way, Braves are up 3-0 already. So 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, as we're trying to figure out what the future governance of NIL is going to be, name, image, and likeness, we turn to somebody who knows probably about as much about this as anybody in the country. Christy Dosh is joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. She's sports business reporter for Forbes, founder of the Business of College and Sports Jobs, Sports and Jobs in NIL. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page at SportsBizMiss. Christy, as always, thanks for a few minutes here in Atlanta with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I don't live up there anymore, but I'm born and bred in Atlanta and always happy to come on up there.
Absolutely. You know, Christy, I'm rubbing my eyes because this whole idea of the federal government getting involved. Look, the federal government does two things really well. They print money and fight wars. That's the only thing that the federal government does well. I don't want them anywhere near this name, image, and likeness. And I'm not saying that there doesn't need to be regulations, but what are your thoughts about the idea of the federal government getting involved and starting to put standards in play for this?
Yeah, I've always thought it was kind of a long shot that they were going to do anything about it. I mean, there have been, I think, more than a dozen federal bills related to NIL that have been introduced over the last couple of years, and none of them have even made it out of committee. And a big part of that is because the congressional leaders can't agree about what should be in there. And even, you know, talk about extending it beyond NIL to cover other parts of college sports as well. So I know the NCAA is hopeful that that will solve its problems in terms of differing state laws. And I sort of understand the angst with that, but I don't think a federal law is coming at all, but certainly not anytime soon. I'm not optimistic that it's going to happen.
Well, I guess what's the downside of letting the states, I mean, again, this is how, I hate to say it this way, but I mean, this is how government's supposed to work. The states should be able to decide what the future of these things is and what the rules and regulations are. And look, I understand competitive balance and all that, but again, there's no competitive balance in the world of collegiate athletics. I mean, it's already lopsided to the premier program. So what's wrong with having the states govern how all of this gets handled?
Yeah, I think the danger now, you know, where the tipping point was for me was last week when Texas passed its new bill that its governor signed, which essentially says the NCAA can't enforce its own rules. So I expect that other states will be passing that soon as well. There have already been discussions in other states. So now you're just essentially saying the NCAA can no longer govern its member institutions. So college sports just isn't going to have rules anymore. Everybody can just do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. You know, there's nothing that operates like that. Professional sports operate under rules now, albeit that's with professional athletes as employees, collectively bargaining with the league. And I think that's probably where we're headed. There's a big case going to the National Labor Relations Board in November, and the early indications are that that board will likely decide that student athletes are employees, and I think college sports will look very, very different a couple of years from now.
We'll get back to that point here in just a second, but I do want to say that what I mean. Look, the talk has always been that football may get away from the NCAA to govern itself. I mean, Steve Spurrier has always said it's a 1950s rule book governing in the 21st century. And there are a lot of antiquated things about the way the NCAA governs over football. I'm not saying that there's not a use for them, especially in other sports. But, you know, look, they had a chance to get their arms around this, and they kicked the can down the road for decades on this. They knew that this was going to come at some point. And now for Charlie Baker to come out and say, well, you know, we got to get federal law. Well, wait a second. You guys kicked the can down the road. You didn't want to embrace this idea of athletes making money off this. And now you're trying to scramble to try to put something back. And that's why I think, I wonder if, A, the NCAA is a dying breed, which I think that they are as far as governing football. But it's a lot of gall for Charlie Baker to come out and say, well, you know, now we got to pass federal laws when they had all the chances in the world to wrap their arms around and get some things in place for this.
Yeah, 100%. I agree that they put themselves in this situation. And you know, I think even sometimes I kind of forget, like the NCAA doesn't just pass its own rules. The people in Indianapolis are not making these rules up or declining to change these rules. It's the university presidents who govern. They are the ones who vote on legislation, new legislation, changing legislation. So it's the schools themselves making the decisions on these rules, not some sort of, dictator in Indianapolis that's doing it. However, I do think there's a huge disconnect between what university presidents want and what university athletic directors want. And I think that we've finally gotten to a point where having presidents make these decisions about athletics, particularly with regards to football, maybe doesn't make sense anymore. I've myself met a number of presidents who knew very little about the college sports that they governed.
Christy Dosh, sports business reporter, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And I'll always remember our conversation that when all of this kind of first started, you were one of the people, and I always remember the idea that you talked about social media influence and different things like this. And we have seen an explosion of, and I hate to say it this way, but I mean, folks that are on Instagram, big Twitter presence, these kind of big social media platforms and stuff like that, that, you know, it wasn't just going to be the football players that made all the money. We're seeing people in all, swimming, softball, different things like that, that there are so many athletes that are cashing in right now, and especially a lot of it off their social media presence. I always give you credit for that because you're one of the first people that brought that up to me.
Oh, thank you. You know, I really think that is what has sort of equalized things for female versus male athletes. I mean, you're always going to have football players and some men's basketball players who are getting paid, I don't want to say above market rate, because market rate is whatever someone's willing to pay, but they're getting paid, far beyond what they would get in sort of the normal influencer realm for the number of followers that they have. But when you get outside of football, men's basketball, I mean, I have seen some women just absolutely killing it, multiple six figures into the millions when you talk about athletes like the Cavender twins, but, mm-hmm. Names you wouldn't even recognize. Emily Cole, who's a track and field athlete at Duke, she is multiple six figures. She's been killing it. Leah Clapper, who just graduated from University of Florida, who's a gymnast. Same thing, absolutely killed it at NIL. And Leah just graduated, and her entire career plan has changed because of NIL. And that's the stuff about NIL that I love.
So I guess what's the next steps? I mean, the thing I always said about name, image, and likeness was, in the old system, if you will, look, athletes were capitalizing off of their success. It may not be at the level that it is now with NIL, but, again, the bags of money. And I mean, look, John Hot Rod Williams in Tulane had a Nike shoebox full of cash underneath his bed. So you had all of the boosters and things like that that were doing the backdoor deals and such. Now with NIL, at least things have come out to the light and we can kind of see where money comes from in all of this. So what's the next kind of step as far as NIL? But what do you think the next kind of breakthrough thing is for name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, I think right now it's those changing state laws with regards to the NCAA's ability to even govern NIL. They really don't have very many rules around NIL right now. When they passed NIL, it basically just said, if you have a state law, follow it. If you don't have a state law, follow your school's policy. And, you can have accountants and attorneys and advisors. That was really it. And then always in the rule book, there'd been the rule against pay for play and inducement. But I think we all know inducement is happening. Lots of high school kids, lots of transfers are signing NIL deals, or at least agreeing verbally to NIL deals before they make their decisions. That's not how it's supposed to work, but we all know that it's working like that. And now it looks like states are going to move to take away the NCAA's right to do anything about that. But frankly, they haven't been doing anything about it anyway.
Yeah, and the other part of this is, and you brought this up about earlier, about the idea of athletes becoming state employees. Now, I talked to somebody that was from the state of North Carolina that was, I think it was like the director of labor for the state of North Carolina years ago, and this was probably like 7 or 8 years ago, and she brought this exact idea up about, we would get to a point where if you're an athlete, you become an employee of the state. Is that something that you think will happen? Do you think that that is something that is also in the future works, that these athletes become state employees when all is said and done?
Yeah, right now there's a case that's making its way to the National Labor Relations Board. It involves football and men's and women's basketball athletes, just those three sports. However, the test for employment doesn't look at whether a sport generates revenue or not. So even though football and men's and women's basketball are generally revenue sports, as we call them, it would, you know, need to extend to include all other student athletes, because they, if those three sports meet the definition of employment, so do all the rest of them. And what's really interesting is I've been teaching NIL at University of Florida for the last year and a half. I teach in two different departments, and I've had a handful of student athletes in my class every single semester. And the last unit of the semester, I have them read articles arguing both sides, arguing that yes, they're employees and here's why, and here's what it'll look like when they become employees, or no, they're not, here's why not. And I try to really present both sides equally. And then I ask them in their final discussion board, do you think student athletes are employees? Why or why not? And every single athlete I've had in my class every semester says no, not athletes, not employees, and don't want to be. You know, they're very concerned about how there might be some disadvantages to being an employee, like being able to be fired, being penalized for being late. You know, there are a number of things that will look different if they're employees, and not all student athletes are on board with that.
So, I mean, we've had this brought up before, the idea of unionization. So is that something that athletes, that if they're not employees, they argue that they, you know, can, you know, become a union and fight for rights that, you know, again, they, you know, that you know, kind of an equal set of rights across the board. Do you think unionization is something that could happen first before any idea of being a state employee?
It actually gets really complicated. There are ways to create essentially trade associations without them being employees. I don't want to give people a whole law class on this, but the more likely avenue is going to be that they're deemed to be employees and can unionize that way. However, about half of the states do not allow employees of the government, which would include public universities within the state, to unionize. So in about half of the state, student athletes at public universities would have no ability to unionize. And then the rules look different for private versus public schools anyway. So you're looking at this kind of patchwork like we have with NIL already. And so it's not like they'll just decide student athletes are employees and suddenly they'll all be able to organize and unionize and collectively bargain. It's far more complicated than that.
So I am curious, because I know how knowledgeable you are in all this, and you've been ahead of the curve on this issue. What is the message that you try to get across to your students? Like, what is kind of the theme of the idea of the message that you're trying to brand for them?
I'm really trying to focus on all the things I love about NIL, which is not only their ability to monetize right now and do one-off kind of deals, but really thinking about the deals that you accept or that you go after. How can you put together things that help you with your future career? Like, I've seen student athletes who, in addition to compensation, have asked for a micro internship with the company, or they've asked for a meeting with the CEO. You know, they're trying to network and put themselves in a position to be able to find a great job after graduation. They're forming their own companies and becoming entrepreneurs. You know, some of the top ones are taking equity in companies. They're getting board seats. You know, that sort of long-term thinking is what I love about NIL. So we start with the basics about, you know, what is your personal brand? What are the ways you can monetize your NIL? But then I really try to teach them a little more about how they can take this beyond graduation. And it's not just something you do while you're a student athlete. And many of them have really taken that to heart, and it's been fun to watch.
Sports business reporter, founder of the Business of College and College Sports and Jobs in NIL, Christy Dosh, joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Check out her Twitter page at SportsBizMiss. Christy, as always, really appreciate the time and the info. Keep doing great work. And listen, we always appreciate having you on. So thanks so much for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And go Braves.
You got it. When we come back, top of the hour, Falcons flyover as Braves are up 3-0 right now. How's that whole 10 ERA thing working out for that pitcher for the Rockies? So anyway, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Friday night with you. By the way, Braves are up 3-0 already. So 404-726-0929, that is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, as we're trying to figure out what the future governance of NIL is going to be, name, image, and likeness, we turn to somebody who knows probably about as much about this as anybody in the country. Christy Dosh is joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. She's sports business reporter for Forbes, founder of the Business of College and Sports Jobs, Sports and Jobs in NIL. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page at SportsBizMiss. Christy, as always, thanks for a few minutes here in Atlanta with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I don't live up there anymore, but I'm born and bred in Atlanta and always happy to come on up there.
Absolutely. Christy, I'm rubbing my eyes because this whole idea of the federal government getting involved. Look, the federal government does two things really well. They print money and fight wars. That's the only thing that the federal government does well. I don't want them anywhere near this name, image, and likeness. And I'm not saying that they're doesn't need to be regulations, but what are your thoughts about the idea of the federal government getting involved and starting to put standards in play for this?
Yeah, I've always thought it was kind of a long shot that they were going to do anything about it. I mean, there have been, I think, more than a dozen federal bills related to NIL that have been introduced over the last couple of years, and none of them have even made it out of committee. And a big part of that is because the congressional leaders can't agree about what should be in there. And even, talk about extending it beyond NIL to cover other parts of college sports as well. So I know the NCAA is hopeful that that will solve its problems in terms of differing state laws. And I sort of understand the angst with that, but I don't think a federal law is coming at all, but certainly not anytime soon. I'm not optimistic that it's going to happen.
Well, I guess what's the downside of letting the states, again, this is how, I hate to say it this way, but I mean, this is how government's supposed to work. The state should be able to decide what the future of these things is and what the rules and regulations are. And look, I understand competitive balance and all that, but again, there's no competitive balance in the world of collegiate athletics. I mean, it's already lopsided to the premier program. So what's wrong with having the states govern how all of this gets handled?
Yeah, I think the danger now, you know, where the tipping point was for me was last week when Texas passed its new bill that its governor signed, which essentially says the NCAA can't enforce its own rules. So I expect that other states will be passing that soon as well. There have already been discussions in other states. So now you're just essentially saying the NCAA can no longer govern its member institutions. So college sports just isn't going to have rules anymore. Everybody can just do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. You know, there's nothing that operates like that. Professional sports operate under rules now, albeit that's with professional athletes as employees, collectively bargaining with the league. And I think that's probably where we're headed. There's a big case going to the National Labor Relations Board in November, and the early indications are that that board will likely decide that student athletes are employees. And I think college sports will look very, very different a couple of years from now.
We'll get back to that point here in just a second, but I do want to say that the talk has always been that football may get away from the NCAA to govern itself. I mean, Steve Spurrier has always said it's a 1950s rule book governing in the 21st century. And there are a lot of antiquated things about the way the NCAA governs over football. I'm not saying that there's not a use for them, especially in other sports. But, you know, look, they had a chance to get their arms around this, and they kicked the can down the road for decades on this. They knew that this was going to come at some point. And now for Charlie Baker to come out and say, well, you know, we got to get federal law. Well, wait a second. You guys kicked the can down the road. You didn't want to embrace this idea of athletes making money off this. And now you're trying to scramble to try to put something back. And that's why I wonder if, A, the NCAA is a dying breed, which I think that they are as far as governing football. But it's a lot of gall for Charlie Baker to come out and say, well, you know, now we got to pass federal laws when they had all the chances in the world to wrap their arms around and get some things in place for this.
Yeah, 100%. I agree that they put themselves in this situation. And, you know, I think even sometimes I kind of forget, like, the NCAA doesn't just, you know, pass its own rules. The people in Indianapolis are not making these rules up or declining to change these rules. It's the university presidents who govern. They are the ones who vote on legislation, new legislation, changing legislation. So it's the schools themselves making the decisions on these rules, not some sort of, you know, dictator in Indianapolis that's doing it. However, I do think there's a huge disconnect between what university presidents want and what university athletic directors want. And I think that we finally gotten to a point where having presidents make these decisions about athletics, particularly with regards to football, maybe doesn't make sense anymore. I've myself met a number of presidents who knew very little about the college sports that they governed.
Christy Dosh, sports business reporter, joining me here on the waitfor.com hotline. And I'll always remember our conversation that when all of this kind of first started, you were one of the people, and I always remember the idea that you talked about social media influence and different things like this. And we have seen an explosion of, and I hate to say it this way, but I mean, folks that are on Instagram, big Twitter presence, you know, these kind of big social media platforms and stuff like that, that, you know, it wasn't just going to be the football players that made all the money. We're seeing people in all, you know, swimming, softball, different things like that, that there are so many athletes that are cashing in right now, and especially a lot of it off their social media presence. I always give you credit for that, because you're one of the first people that brought that up to me.
Oh, thank you. You know, I really think that is what has sort of equalized things for female versus male athletes. I mean, you're always going to have football players and some men's basketball players who are getting paid. I don't want to say above market rate, because market rate is whatever someone's willing to pay, but they're getting paid, you know, far beyond what they would get in sort of the normal influencer realm for the number of followers that they have. But when you get outside of football, men's basketball, I mean, I have seen some women just absolutely killing it, multiple six figures into the millions when you talk about athletes like the Cavender twins, but, mm-hmm. you know, names you wouldn't even recognize. Emily Cole, who's a track and field athlete at Duke, she is multiple six figures. She's been killing it. You know, Leah Clapper, who just graduated from University of Florida, who's a gymnast, same thing, absolutely killed it at NIL. And Leah just graduated, and her entire career plan has changed because of NIL. And that's the stuff about NIL that I love.
So I guess what's the next steps? I mean, I the thing I always said about name, image, and likeness was, in the old system, if you will, look, athletes were capitalizing off of their success. It may not be at the level that it is now with NIL, but, you know, again, the bags of money. And I mean, look, John Hot Rod Williams in Tulane had a Nike shoebox full of cash underneath his bed. So you had all of the boosters and things like that that were doing the backdoor deals and such. Now with NIL, at least things have come out to the light, and we can kind of see where money comes from in all of this. So what's the next kind of step as far as NIL? But what do you think the next kind of breakthrough thing is for name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, you know, I think right now it's those changing state laws with regards to the NCAA's ability to even govern NIL. They really don't have very many rules around NIL right now. When they passed NIL, it basically just said, if you have a state law, follow it. If you don't have a state law, follow your school's policy. And, oh, you can have accountants and attorneys and advisors. That was really it. And then always in the rule book, there'd been the rule against pay-for-play and inducement. But I think we all know inducement is happening. Lots of high school kids, lots of transfers are signing NIL deals, or at least agreeing verbally to NIL deals before they make their decisions. That's not how it's supposed to work, but we all know that it's working like that. And now it looks like states are going to move to take away the NCAA's right to do anything about that. But frankly, they haven't been doing anything about it anyway.
Yeah, and, you know, the other part of this is, and you brought this up about earlier, about the idea of athletes becoming state employees. Now, I talked to somebody that was from the state of North Carolina that was, I think it was like the director of labor for the state of North Carolina years ago, and this was probably like 7 or 8 years ago, and she brought this exact idea up about, you know, we would get to a point where if you're an athlete, you become an employee of the state. Is that something that you think will happen? Do you think that that is something that is also in the future works, that these athletes become state employees when all is said and done?
Yeah, right now there's a case that's making its way to the National Labor Relations Board. It involves football and men's and women's basketball athletes, just those three sports. However, the test for employment doesn't look at whether a sport generates revenue or not. So even though football and men's and women's basketball are generally revenue sports, as we call them, it would, you know, need to extend to include all other student athletes, because they, if those three sports meet the definition of employment, so do all the rest of them. And what's really interesting is I've been teaching NIL at University of Florida for the last year and a half. I teach in two different departments, and I've had a handful of student athletes in my class every single semester. And the last unit of the semester, I have them read articles arguing both sides, arguing that yes, they're employees and here's why, and here's what it'll look like when they become employees, or no, they're not, here's why not. And I try to really present both sides equally. And then I ask them in their final discussion board, do you think student athletes are employees? Why or why not? And every single athlete I've had in my class every semester says, no, not athletes, not employees, and don't want to be. You know, they're very concerned about how there might be some disadvantages to being an employee, like being able to be fired, being penalized for being late. You know, there are a number of things that will look different if they're employees, and not all student athletes are on board with that.
So, I mean, we've had this brought up before, the idea of unionization. So is that something that athletes, that if they're not employees, they argue that they, you know, can, you know, become a union and fight for rights that, you know, again, they, you know, that, you know, kind of an equal set of rights across the board. Do you think unionization is something that could happen first before any idea of being a state employee?
It actually gets really complicated. There are ways to create essentially trade associations without them being employees. I don't want to give people a whole law class on this, but the more likely avenue is going to be that they're deemed to be employees and can unionize that way. However, about half of the states do not allow employees of the government, which would include public universities within the state, to unionize. So in about half of the state, student athletes at public universities would have no ability to unionize. And then the rules look different for private versus public schools anyway. So you're looking at this kind of patchwork like we have with NIL already. And so it's not like they'll just decide student athletes are employees and suddenly they'll all be able to organize and unionize and collectively bargain. It's far more complicated than that.
So I am curious because I know how knowledgeable you are in all this, and you've been ahead of the curve on this issue. What is the message that you try to get across to your students? Like, what is kind of the theme of the idea of the message that you're trying to brand for them?
I'm really trying to focus on all the things I love about NIL, which is not only their ability to monetize right now and do one-off kind of deals, but really thinking about the deals that you accept or that you go after. How can you put together things that help you with your future career? Like, I've seen student athletes who, in addition to compensation, have asked for a micro internship with the company, or they've asked for a meeting with the CEO. You know, they're trying to network and put themselves in a position to be able to find a great job after graduation. They're forming their own companies and becoming entrepreneurs. You know, some of the top ones are taking equity in companies. They're getting board seats. You know, that sort of long-term thinking is what I love about NIL. So we start with the basics about, you know, what is your personal brand? What are the ways you can monetize your NIL? But then I really try to teach them a little more about how they can take this beyond graduation. And it's not just something you do while you're a student athlete. And many of them have really taken that to heart, and it's been fun to watch.
Sports business reporter, founder of the Business of College and College Sports and Jobs in NIL, Christy Dosh, joined us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Check out her Twitter page, at SportsBizMiss. Christy, as always, really appreciate the time and the info. Keep doing great work. And listen, we always appreciate having you on, so thanks so much for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and go Braves!
You got it. When we come back, top of the hour, Falcons flyover, as Braves are up 3-0 right now. How's that whole 10 ERA thing working out for that pitcher for the Rockies? So anyway, Chuck in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.